Whoa, how you doing? This week on the podcast, we went to Hope Brewery and we met Wim DeYoung. Thanks a million to Wim for, you know, walking us around and a couple of beers. It was lovely to chat to him. And just in general, he gives a couple of beers to give away as well, which is, you know, really, really nice of him. The podcast itself, I really enjoyed. I did have a couple of beers, so it's the first time we've done that on the podcast, but maybe it won't be the last. I'm not in a normal spot for doing my pre-spew, but, you know, we're just going to have to make do for the next couple of months as we're going through a bit of a transition phase at home. So, but other than that, I hope you enjoyed the podcast and like, subscribe and share. Is the Inside Trail. That's ideal. It's not a kind of monster, but it's actually something better. Hope beer. Wim, how are you?
Great.
Good. It's actually great to have you on. I'm hoping that you'll have just seen a little tour of the brewery. So then this is what we're drinking from, literally there. So,
cheers.
Thanks very much, man. Great beer. So I suppose the best place to start is how did this start? Like, where did this idea come from?
Well, the idea came from that I was looking for something to do, and the end of the recession, I left my job, which was kind of traveling all over Europe, and I kind of left that to do something for myself, and I was keen to find something to do. So I looked first in the stuff that I was good at, which was printing and packaging, which is quite boring compared to beer, but a very good friend of mine in Holland had just sold his company and bought a beer brand, and he said, "Vim, you gotta get into beer. Like, it's growing so fast." So we kind of looked at it together, and we said, "Okay, listen, let's see if that's possible." Yeah. So we did a feasibility study with to see could we get a beer going, and we brewed a couple of beers with somebody else, and then we said, "Yeah, well, let's give it a go." And so I spent my pension to build a brewery and give it a go. And what I liked about it, like, printing and packaging was a declining market. I didn't think it was boring, but obviously it is quite boring compared to beer. But I wasn't really selling a product that I loved.
Yeah.
And I grew up drinking Belgian beers, and they're all interesting beers with high alcohol percentages. So I loved the different ranges of beer, and then we said, "Listen, we'll give it a lash."
Yeah.
And he was very keen as well, so he invested with me, the Dutch guy, and that's how we got going.
Yeah.
And it took us about a year, I suppose, maybe 15 months, kind of from the start of the idea to actually brewing our first beers here in the brewery.
And had you brewed beer ever before that? So what was the... How does one go from, okay, I have a brewery, to how do I make a fucking great beer? So
you hire a really good brewer.
Okay.
You get a really good guy to advise you on good recipes. You buy state-of-the-art, top-range kit.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
And so
I'm in this more as a businessman than as a, you know, kind of a brewer. Somebody who took his hobby and extended it to something bigger. So it's a different route. Most breweries, in fairness, are set up by people who have been home brewing
for years,
and then say, "Oh,
this scale up.
This is my dream."
Yeah.
And but very few of them have that kind of money to invest in a brewery that's that good.
Yeah.
They might have, if they're successful, they might have it after 5 or 10 years, but it's unusual to start with such a good brewery.
And your Dutch background, is that, like, obviously is that you grew up drinking kind of strong Belgian beers, but are these kind of beers, are they the kind of thing that you find in Holland, or are they...
No. We've styled our beers more on American-style beers. Now, we have a Saison, which is now a wheat beer, which was more of a Belgian-style beer.
Yeah.
Our Pale Ale, Pass If You Can, also started off as the kind of a little bit sweeter, maybe kind of Belgian-style Pale Ale. This is an interesting IPA in that it's not as aroma fruity as some of the IPAs you get. It's more of a malty, high alcohol IPA that I love, but it's not your typical American style beer. It's more of an old fashioned IPA.
And so, what year did you start brewing here?
We brewed our first beers on the 1st of June 2016.
And which beer was that?
That was Handsome Jack, Pass If You Can, and Grunt.
So it was three, just to, as I grew up.
Yeah.
And then since then, do you know how many different beers the brewery has? It's probably hard.
It's hard. We have five beers in our core range. So we've Handsome Jack, we have Pass If You Can, Grunt, and Underdog. That's our core range beers.
Yeah.
And then we recently added this one that you just opened there, which is the Hop-On IPA.
Yeah.
So that's our core range of beers. Then every winter, we do a different
winter
beer,
session,
like
yeah,
the black IPA that we just tasted.
Mm.
And in the summer, we do kind of a fruity
summer session
or summer seasonal IPA. But we also do limited editions. And we're now on to limited edition number 17.
Oh, wow.
So we've done at least 17 in addition to a winter beer for the last 3 years and a summer beer for the last 3 years. So that's 6, 23 plus 5 is 28.
That's
and now with the little innovation, the pilot kit, we're kind of doing very small
bits,
batch beers all the time.
Yeah. So obviously when you're producing beer at this kind of quantity, obviously you need to have somewhere for it to go. So where does most of the beer go into bars? Is it going to shops? Or what's the kind of split of?
It's, I'd say about 40% of our beer goes into bars, so in kegs. And then of the 60% that's left over, about 10% of that is export, so to in kegs and cans and bottles. And of the 50% that goes into cans and bottles, some of it goes also to bars, but very few bars to cans. So. But we sell a lot to restaurants, so we sell a lot of our beers in bottles, in the 33cl bottles, to restaurants. And that's probably about 15 to 20%, and then 30 to 35% of our beer goes in cans to supermarkets and off-licenses.
And then how do you go about finding, a new bar or a new restaurant or...
Hey! Hey!
Fair. It's,
No, but we walk in and we kind of check it out, kind of see what kind of a bar... Like, there's 900 bars in Dublin. I think there's 7,000 bars in Ireland.
Yeah.
And there's 900 of them in Dublin alone.
Yeah.
Like, we supply about 80, maybe, between 60 and 80, depends a little bit. So the world is our oyster, and the world is only in Dublin, so it's easy, That's a big advantage we have with our brewery compared to, like, most of the breweries in Ireland are in Mayo and Donegal and Sligo and Kerry. And
where the rent is cheap.
Yeah, but there's no people there.
No.
So they all have to bring their beer over here, which is a real pain in the hole. So at least we have, Dublin as our homeland.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have North County Dublin as our main homeland. And that's where we're strongest. So we're strongest in kind of around here, from Clontarf to Howth to Malahide, Swords, those are real good yeah, areas for
the core, the yeah. core areas. And then you were saying about your exports there, so where is like the main spots, or is it kind of like anywhere?
We're only starting with exports, so it's yeah. still like 10% is not a lot, like it yeah. could be a lot more.
Yeah.
But we sell our beers in Holland, yeah. of course, yeah. And in France, we've done quite well in France. Italy is probably going to be our biggest market.
Yeah.
Russia, we have yeah. one customer in Russia.
Yeah, I think that's mad.
And this is he's about 500 kilometers south of Moscow,
yeah.
just near the Ukrainian border. And he's an Irish bar there called Hamilton's Pub.
And he just buys a whole brew? Like.
And, well, he buys several different Irish beers. And even bought some beer in Holland from our brewery in Holland now.
I see.
So, so it's...
You have a brewery in...
My friend has a brewery in Holland.
Okay,
And that's called... Hoop.
is there any correlation? Like the
branding is very similar. Yeah.
But in terms of beer.
No. Well, he's brewed once or twice. He's brewed a beer that we've made here.
Would you ever see like a nice beer that he's made?
I like his beers because I like those kind of sweeter, high alcohol Belgian style beers.
Yeah.
But the lads tell me that Irish people are not interested.
Yeah.
So, we brewed a Bock beer there on the pilot kit a couple of months ago, and that was kind of a high alcohol, kind of European style beer, and I thought it was great.
So, this pilot kit that you talk about, that's essentially where you just test out the little, like, your variations, is it? Like a smaller...
Yeah, that's the idea. The idea is that we can test very low alcohol beers or very high alcohol beers or beers with different flavours, so we're going to make a beer... where we're going to add chopped up whiskey barrels into it, or no, rum barrels, so that you get that kind
that
of flavour, barrel-aged feel.
Yeah.
We've brewed beers with fruit, or brewed beers with coffee in them, and but it also gives us a chance maybe to try and brew a gluten-free beer, or an alcohol-free beer, or...
Not sure I like the alcohol-free beer.
It's very popular too.
Really?
Yeah, like Heineken 0.0 is...
The thing about the Heineken 0 is I feel like if I'm not drinking, I'll just have a Coke, or a water. Like, I don't know.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Dan, but, you know, consumers are interested. So at the moment, what we have in the pilot kit is very interesting. It's a hard seltzer.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that to me.
You were in Vancouver. And did you have a drink in Vancouver?
I had multiple drinks in Vancouver.
So in the States, what's really growing really fast is what they call is a hard seltzer. It's like 7-Up with alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a soda pop or an alcohol pop.
Oh, an alcohol pop, yeah.
Only it doesn't have, it's not branded like Smirnoff.
No.
Like we're making the alcohol here.
Yeah.
And then they're adding flavours and you get a clear alcohol.
And it's very light, isn't it? The
It's 5% alcohol.
No, it didn't like taste wise.
Yeah,
it's not heavy
like
a beer. Like.
Yeah, it's low in calories and.
Let's have a look into those.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's more of a girly drink.
Look, if it gets you drunk, kind of keeps you skinny, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's really so we actually were doing this with a guy from Belvaux, Connor Hanlon. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know him?
No.
I think he was a year. Younger than you, and really, really nice guy. And he started working straight from college for an insurance company. So, don't like that. So he came up with this. He probably went to the States for a summer and came up with this idea to brew an alcohol seltzer. They call it a hard seltzer. Alcohol seltzers that are
kind of like what they got. Fat Frog or a what are they called?
Have
you seen them there? Yeah.
Well, honestly, I don't know what you're on about, but I think that would be the idea, wouldn't it?
But anyway, so that's the pilot kit is ideal for that. So when that tastes okay, then he'll go for a bigger brew and we'll bottle it for him and he'll put it on the shelves and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what the pilot kit is ideal for, you know, free from is the big word, you know. So whether it's gluten free or fat free or calorie free or sugar free or alcohol free, that's the big thing in any consumer trend at the moment.
Yeah.
And we have a chance there to experiment with that. Yeah. As well as kind of funky 9% beers.
Yeah. And, I tell you, like, would you ever just come in and be like, you know what, I actually might make a really strong 9% beer and I'll have that for the weekend. Does having something like that, like, can you just come in and be like, I'm actually going to throw all this in and see what I make? Or is that more
We could. Yeah. We haven't, but because I don't brew,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I let the lads come up with. But yeah, I mean, we did a beer there and we could basically kind of had a look what kind of hops have we left over, what kind of fruit have we left over, and we threw it all in there.
And how did it taste?
Yeah, great.
Another thing that I wanted to ask you is, so like, obviously there's different types of beer. Now, obviously for someone who isn't into beer, like, there's obviously there's IPAs and there's, you know, lagers, and can you tell me what the difference between them is?
Yeah, now I can't get too technical because, as I said, I'm not the brewer.
Yeah, fair.
But so most of the beers that the craft beer industry brew are ales.
Yeah.
And an ale is brewed, it's finished in 2 to 3 weeks. And it uses a special kind of yeast, an ale yeast, and it's a bottom fermenting beer.
Okay.
Yeah, a lager, and if you go into a bar, most of what you see is lagers. You know, Carlsberg, Budweiser, Coors, Heineken, they're all lagers, and that's also why craft beer is more about ales.
Yeah.
But a lager, in theory, takes about 5 weeks. When we make a lager, it takes 5 weeks to ferment and condition. Yeah, it comes from the German word Lager, which is storage.
Okay.
And it means they're stored lager, which gives you that kind of very clean, crisp flavor of a lager. And it's supposed to taste a little bit malty, and that's what a good lager is. Now, we then add loads of hops in it, making it more like, you know, a craft beer ale. But that's what a lager is. It's a malty, clean, crisp beer. And you get that through fermenting it at a lower temperature with a different kind of yeast and then leaving it there longer. Whereas an ale, I always say an ale, it's a little bit rough around the edges, you know, and it has a much kind of broader flavor profile. And that's what we love as well. And we get that from the hops. Like, we add any god's amount of hops in the beer, but also from a malt recipe, which is much more interesting than when you brew a lager, and then from the yeast, and yeast also gives flavors. So in a minute we'll taste a beer there that we made recently, which uses this Norwegian farmhouse style yeast called Kvik, and it gives very kind of sweet flavors.
Yeah.
To the beer. So also the yeast gives you different flavors, but they're real ales, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a much kind of broader flavor profile, and then you've, like, within the ales you've got an IPA. An IPA is supposed to be very hoppy. So the Brits were fighting their wars over in India, and they would need to preserve the beer because otherwise, when it would come over there, it would taste like shit.
Yeah.
So what they did is they made the beer at a much higher alcohol level, but also added loads and loads of hops, which kind of camouflaged the beer going off.
Yeah.
That's what you get from that.
And can I ask, have you a favourite? Like, what is your, like, of all the beer that you make?
Dan, these are my babies, you know? So if you ever
ask
your
mum... between your children.
Yeah, you ever ask
your mum... mum would give you an answer. My mum would give you an answer. I'd say I'm probably handsome Jack if these were my own.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like a higher alcohol beer.
Yeah.
But in terms of... We sell a lot of handsome Jack, but not so much in keg.
Really?
Because there's 3 or 4 bars that have it on draft.
Yeah.
And it's not as saleable on draft. Whereas the lower alcohol beer, such as this Hop On... And the pass, if you can, which is 4.6%, they sell much better on draft.
I see. And just for anyone who fancies going for a point, where in Dublin, like, is anywhere in town, or, you know, where
yeah,
do you...
Yeah, so, in town we have MacDade's, which is just off Grafton Street.
Okay.
O'Neill's on Suffolk Street, yeah. And O'Neill's on Pier Street. Hard Rock Cafe have our handsome Jack on draft.
Well, that needs
so
that's,
they're
yeah, burners, that's me started, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Duke on Duke Street, also just off Grafton Street, have recently taken on our hop-on.
Okay.
So there's a good few, we're getting more
yeah,
and more
yeah.
in town. Now, look, around here, I hope you just walk into any bar.
Yeah, that's on,
yeah,
I've noticed that shit. Yeah, and then like for so that's like the restaurant, but then in, like I know I see it in Super Value sometimes, and then
yeah.
like do you have to like
Dunn's are the only store that sell our beers nationwide.
Okay.
So they have, I think Dunn's have about 100 stores, but in 45 of them they sell the hop on and the pass if you can. And they can get it in Limerick and Cork.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. We also have a good, recent bit of distribution in Waterford, because my sister lives in Waterford.
Oh,
well.
There you
are.
Yeah. And, sure, can I just finish this just because I love this beer? So, what other beer are we going to try? So, we have.
Yeah, so.
What
we'll have a
here?
Little taste of this, yeah? This,
yes.
So, this. This was a kind of a malty, very full-flavoured IPA. 6.6%. This is only 4.3%. Now, so you should really always go the other way around, yeah? When you're tasting beer, you should always start low and go up, but, you know, fuck it.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll give you a little sip of this so that we have a little bit of room for the other beers as well.
Fair.
But what I'm hoping you'll taste from this one is a very fruity aroma. Yeah, so this beer uses a hop called El Dorado, which is supposed to give you pineapple flavors.
Yeah. It's very
citra
fruity.
And
yeah, yeah.
It's citrusy flavors. So it's a very fruity beer, yeah?
That's
and that's
yeah.
that's now a real kind of West Coast
yeah.
style IPA.
Yeah, I really like
that's
that.
And it's only 4.3%. But because we've added such a lot of very good ingredients, you still get a lot of flavour out of it. So that's what, the danger when you brew low alcohol beers is that they're a bit watery. And that's what you always have to prevent. Yeah? Whereas a kind of a strong IPA like Handsome Jack will never taste watery.
Yeah, yeah.
But this, the trick here is to make a beer that doesn't taste water.
Yeah, it definitely just tastes water in here.
But you really get those hops.
Like it's so fruity.
Out of it, yeah, yeah.
So I show that can as well, the whole junction on
yeah.
it.
Here's another few.
We'll have a look at a couple more of them. Is that focus?
I was just going to ask you about the artwork on the can, so it seems
yeah,
like you put a good bit of time into that.
Yeah. We use a Dutch design company for our artwork. Another good friend of ours from when we grew up, he has a packaging design company in Holland, and he helped us come up with the first design. So every beer that we have has a story, and the imagery on the story on the label relates to the story, and what we're trying to do there is kind of get better connections with our customers, so that, you know, if you like Handsome Jack, you'll read the story about this pirate, yeah, this very good looking pirate, and this story is about 70% true.
Okay.
Yeah? We went to the librarian in Fingal in Swords, and he told us the story about
That's
this
cool.
This guy called Jack the Bachelor. And he sailed the seas, and he basically womanized and robbed his way all the way down to Spain and Italy until they found him stabbed to death in a hotel bed in Naples.
Yeah.
And they reckoned any of his four wives could have done it. So with that little story, we're trying to make a little bit of a connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit of fun in it.
Yeah.
But it's a true story from North County Dublin. And local and craft beer are two words that are very tightly related. So the whole local beer, if you go to America and you go into a bar, you'll say, I'll have one of your local beers. And people do that here as well.
Yeah.
I'll have a local beer. Now, what I need to get is people to understand that Guinness isn't the only local beer that's made in Ireland. You know? But when they do, they'll be interested in drinking a local beer, and they'll try it. And that's why beer in America, craft beer in America, is so much more popular.
Yeah.
Because people want to drink local. They want to drink it. Oh, that came just from down the road. That'll be fresh. I don't want to drink Budweiser.
Yeah.
I want to drink a local fresh beer.
Fair. And then just for people, if people were here and wanted to come and see, you do a tasting here, is that right?
We do brewery tours.
Yeah.
Every Thursday evening, Friday evening, or Saturday, you can book a tour, and we bring you around the brewery,
and we taste
five or six different beers.
That's the dream, really, isn't it? Like, so then the last kind of question before we do that, which one of these should we open? So
would you like to try a strong beer? Or?
I suppose so.
Who's driving?
we're getting a taxi. We're here all evening. Oaks IPA. Now this one looks so.
That's our latest limited edition, number 16. So that's why I said we're on to number 17 now. And it's called Overnight Oats.
Okay.
That's to appeal to the healthy people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fair.
But it usually, we have oat milk in it and oats. The oats give kind of a nice, smooth finish to a beer. So that's why we call it Overnight Oats. It's supposed to be funny. And we used this Kvik yeast from, originated in Norway.
Yeah.
And a Kvik yeast gives you a lovely kind of sweet finish to the beer. So I'll have a look. It's just supposed to be sweet, fruity. It's a little bit hazy, but that's okay. None of our beers are filtered or pasteurized or sterilized, you know, and we all use the main ingredients, whereas if you buy a macro beer, a beer from a big brewery, I mean, there could be all sorts of additives and shite into it, concentrates, because they brew so much of it, they can't. So you can even smell it. So see these glasses, they're special beer tasting glasses to facilitate kind of smelling them. And then
I really like that. Well, that's fair. I actually love all these, so I'm going to be slightly biased, but no, that is very nice.
But it's very different, isn't it?
It is different. It's
it
not
is very different.
It doesn't have like the fruity kick that the others have, but it's like it's not. Oh, yeah, I'll have to go again. Like it's fairly standard, like, and it's also 7.5% alcohol. Do me any favours.
Now, when you brew a high alcohol beer, the trick is always that you don't get an alcohol burn. So the idea is that you don't taste
the high alcohol. Yeah, fair. No,
you just notice it afterwards.
Yeah, you're like, oh shit, I'm gonna have two cans and I'm falling asleep. Like, yeah, no, definitely like when like that's why I was quite shocked when I saw 7.5% and that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So one of the last questions that I wanted to ask you before we move on is, like, obviously, you've been doing this beer for a couple of years now. So what was it that, obviously, you decided that you were going to just do this? But when you compare what your job was before and now, is there any part of you that's like, I slightly regret it, or is this is...
Well, my paycheck is not as good.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so that's a big difference.
Yeah.
And so to do it like this, you're going to have to be able to afford it.
Yeah.
And until maybe one day we're so big that we can make loads of money,
yeah.
You know, starting up a new business is hard.
Yeah.
And like the first year and a half to 2 years, I didn't pay myself anything.
Yeah.
Now we can pay, but I mean, I'm paying myself less than what you guys are making with buying me.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So you need to be able to afford it, and you need to love it.
Yeah.
And you also, I mean, I didn't do this because I wanted to spend lots of money and have a bit of fun. I have a vision of, you know, this company will be worth something.
Yeah.
So that's why what we're doing is building a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So compared to what I used to, I was very passionate about packaging.
Yeah.
And I used to love packaging. And, you know, I'd go into a store and I'd be trying all the packaging,
yeah,
see who made it, what was it made of. And I'm passionate about beer now.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, it's similar, only this is a lot more fun, you know.
Yeah.
When we're packaging a beer, to get the carbonation right is very important. So when the lads are carving up a beer in the morning, you know, they'll come to me at about maybe 9 o'clock and they say, Vim, will you taste that please? And I kind of go, I love my gel.
That's I love my gel. What's that? My battery gone, is it?
The charger?
No, I've just got audio for the last bit, I suppose. Anyway, well, I suppose that's my cue to move on to our segments. The life hack that I spoke to you about before.
Yeah.
What? Have you a life hack for me?
Yeah. Yeah. So, on every can of our beer, we have food pairing suggestions. And everybody always talks about pairing food with wine, you know, looking, this red wine is very nice with this. But beer and food are actually really nice together. So
yeah.
I would recommend anybody to get a couple of different beers and try and pair them with a type of food.
Yeah.
So we have a beer that goes really well with fish. This beer is really nice with fish.
Okay.
Even oysters, it's great with. Then we have a slightly sweeter beer that's nice with spicy food or chicken.
Yeah.
Handsome Jack, because it's such a full-flavoured beer. It's great with a burger or a barbecue or pizzas.
Yeah.
But try a few things.
Mix it up.
Pair beer and say, you know, we're having a dinner party, but we're not having any wine. We're going to have different beer with every course.
I'll be at that dinner party every day, so... Okay, so now I've just a couple of random questions just to, you know, just get the head flown. So, what is the best holiday that you've ever been on?
I'm just back from Seattle and Portland, where we went for a long weekend, 4 days. We called it a beer reconnaissance trip. And basically, we're drinking beer and trying to see what we could learn from drinking lots of beer.
Yeah, well,
so that was pretty good.
That sounds like my kind of holiday. What is your personal favorite beer outside of Hope? Like, what do you like if you go to a bar and you don't have Hope? What do you drink?
Well, I used to drink a lot of Belgian beers, and there was one beer which we always drank, which was really good, and it was called Stroffe Hendrik. It was a strong beer, I think it was 6 or 7%.
Yeah.
But you know the Belgian beers, they have lovely glasses. It wasn't very hoppy, but it was quite malty.
Yeah.
I drank so much of it that it's got to be up there with my favourites.
Yeah, fair. Okay, your last meal on earth, what is it? You choose, just...
Yeah, Irish breakfast.
Irish breakfast? Mm. I was hoping that you were going to say a can of hope or something. which animal best represents your personality? Oh, that's such a weird question, I know, but...
probably our dog, Buster. Not at the minute. He's
He's
a bit bollocks at the minute.
Yeah. You're allowed to
help
you
with
Buster.
But he's been about 6 years ago.
Yeah. Buster in his prime.
Yes.
Okay, and then what is something...
When you used to sleep with him.
Yeah, I used to sleep in the dog's bed with Buster after a couple of cans every now and again. Okay, so what is something that can't be found or bought in the internet? That sounds like a riddle, but just...
My beer.
My beer? It can't be bought on the internet?
No.
Oh, well, that's something we need to work on.
Yeah.
We'll have a chat. Okay, so your trivia, are you ready? So, there's 10 questions. Your son, Tom, has one of the highest scores.
That's a bit
annoying.
I presume there's a few zeros as well.
There's actually no zeros. The lowest is one, so really, please don't be that guy. I think there could be bragging rights in the sitting room this evening or at the weekend now, if you don't. But sure, look, we'll give it a bash anyway. So, how many states of the USA are on the border of Mexico?
Two.
Five. Which football team plays at Goodison Park? Jeez, that was
Everton.
Everton, nice. There we are.
Oh, great.
Right, so you're on the board.
Yes.
Which singer is known?
I don't know that one.
Well, no, he didn't get these questions. Which singer is known for her songs New York, New York, and My Way?
Frank Sinatra.
Yes, spot on. That's two. Which long-distance train had its first run in October 1883?
Long-distance train? Trans-Siberia Express.
The Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name five of the cities of Scotland?
Five cities in Scotland?
Yeah.
Glasgow, Edinburgh, Aberdeen, there isn't any more.
It's Dundee, Inverness, Perth, and Stirling are the others. You still got two. We're rolling. So we're just past the halfway mark. So in August of 1962, Jamaica declared its independence from which country?
United Kingdom.
Yeah. I suppose that's a fairly. They did colonize fucking everywhere, so. So we're on three. Let's see, can we keep going? How many Premier League titles has Ryan Giggs won with Man United?
Four.
13, believe it or
13?
Not. 13? Yeah, huge, huge successful bloke. Have you seen the film La La Land?
No.
Oh, well, that's a shame. The question was based around that.
I thought that was the question.
No, that wasn't the question. I wish it was that simple. What city is it based in?
Los Angeles.
It is Los Angeles. Yeah. That's, so four and we've two left. I feel like you could. Okay. Where is it? Basel is the third largest city of which European country?
I know that.
I know you know it.
Switzerland.
The way you looked at me there. So you've already tied that top spot, Wim. This is the opportunity to take the top spot on the trivia. What is the name of the branch of medicine that specializes in the study and treatment of disorders of the nervous system?
What is the branch of medicine?
Yeah, so like what?
Type of medicine?
Yeah, medicine.
Oh, as in the study?
Yeah.
You probably know. Can I call a friend?
Make it quick.
Call your mum.
So
I don't know.
Neurology.
Very good.
In fairness, you have that top spot. Like you're one of only four people to ever come on the podcast and hit five. So
listen, I'm very proud.
Well,
have you had any dads yet?
You're the first dad. Yup the dads. Wim, thanks a million for this today. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the beers.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So cheers to that.
Cheers.
And we'll chat soon. Ba-ba-ba.